Every morning, when I'm traveling down on the highway, I listen to East Coast Radio, just to see if there's a smash along the highway. And they told of a very lovely story that backs that one up, if I may just share it with you. Some of you may have heard it. A young couple got married, and with all the great joys and expectations of marriage, they set off on their honeymoon. And on their honeymoon, they had a serious, serious car accident. And as a result of that car accident, this new bride, this new wife, lost her memory. She couldn't remember. She recovered in every other way physically, but not in that way. And what happened was that her husband started to court her all over again. And it took a couple of years. And he won her love all over again. And then they had an unofficial second wedding. But you know, both of those are true stories. But you know, my friends, they tell us something very, very important. And I come to you acknowledging that, as in most ways, I also long to improve in this way my attitude at home and with Mary. And it tells you that above everything else, God wants us as men to be godly husbands. You may be a success at business. You may be a phenomenal sportsman. But at the end of the day, the test is, how's it going at home? That's the test. And my brothers and sisters, last Sunday we had a look at the wife. Thank you for all your SMSs. It was wonderful. And now we're going to have a look at this morning at the husband. So, the wives, here we go. You must pray for me. Let's come and have a look at the Bible. Isn't it terrific, though, this morning, friends, just to say one more time, to have the Bible. We don't listen to the world. We don't worry what the world says. We are saying, what does God say? So last Sunday we saw the position of the wife. She is to be submissive to her husband and to create at home the most wonderful environment at home. That's her greatest calling, is her home. So that her children and her husband loves to be at home. Now let's have a look at the man today. Verse 19, which Lorna read to us today. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. What I want to do this morning, if I may, my dear friends, is two things, and I want to connect this with Ephesians and to give you the two responsibilities that are laid upon the husband in the home. The first thing that we learn in the Bible is that the husband is to be his wife's leader. His wife's leader. Now that ties in, of course, with what we saw last Sunday. That the wife is submissive to her husband. Now how does he lead the home? Always in life, for the men, the example, the model, thing that he seeks to follow all the time is Jesus. Jesus is the model leader. And if we say to ourselves, how did Jesus lead? How does Jesus lead his bride, the church? How did Jesus lead his disciples? Then you must say that as a leader, the preeminent characteristic was that it was a servant leadership. It was a servant leadership. Wayne Mack has written a marvelous book. I recommended it to you last week, called Strengthening Your Marriage. He said this, indeed, if the best interests of others are not in his heart, if he's not willing to sacrifice himself, his personal needs, his wants, his desires, his aspirations, his time, his money, the needs of others and his wife are not more important than his own, he's not qualified to lead. My brothers, you and I are called in the home to lead, and the model is Jesus as he portrayed a servant leadership. But what does that mean practically as we look at Jesus? Well, there are four things that we learn about Jesus. The first thing is that we learn is the principle of continuous association. Continuous association. If you compare that to what 1 Peter says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them. So what that means is that the man of the home, the husband of the home, ought to spend lots and lots of time at home. That's the first principle. It's the principle of continuous association. Jesus did not lead by way of long-distance calls or infrequent visits. He spent lots and lots of time with his disciples. It's the same with the men at the home. For you and me, my brothers, we are to love being at home. It's the principle of continuous association. Secondly, with the Lord Jesus, he carefully and relevantly instructed his disciples. So that in 1 Corinthians it says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband. And that's really what happens. The husband, out of his relationship with God, takes the Bible and he lovingly, carefully, systematically instructs and guides and helps the home. It's a wonderful thing. He's the leader. Dad takes the lead. Gets his wife. And he gets his children, and he reads to them from the Bible, and he explains the Bible. Dad's thought. It's dad, the husband, that comes and explains and leads and guides and instructs how things happen. Three, Jesus led by way of example, always by way of example. And that's how the man in the home seeks to be friends. He strives to be an example, to be a model, to be a pattern of godliness, of holiness, of compassion, of dedication, and absolute commitment to God. It's by way of example. And then number four, Jesus led by way of making decisions and delegating responsibility. That's really dad in the home. Some of you got it out. There's a wonderful book in the library called The Christian Home by Jay Adams. It's fantastic. He said this, quite strong, and I just share it for you to think about. And so we see this picture of the husband responsible for everything that happens in the home. Nothing goes on in the home over which he is not aware. Nothing should happen to his children over which he does not have surveillance. Indeed, the final say, his wife will teach nothing, do nothing, say nothing in the home ever of which her husband will disapprove. What a marvelous picture this is, men. I'll speak to my own heart. This is what God calls us to. The greatest thing in life, it's not your business. It's not your sport. It's not your hobbies. The greatest thing in life is my home. Brothers, God wants you and me to lead the home. The man must lead. But secondly, to tie in with that, what sort of lead is it? Well, we follow Jesus. Jesus shows us that we seek to lead in the home in the most loving way we can. It's a loving, loving, loving leadership. The basic truth of all these passages is not control or domination, but sacrificial love. And there are two things, if I may clarify that for you, to think through, brothers. How do we love? Well, the first way the Bible tells us that we are to love our wives as we love ourselves. And normally, all men spend a lot of time and give a great deal of thought, effort and money to take care of themselves, our desires, our aspirations, our hopes, and so on. When we're hungry, we eat. When we're thirsty, we drink. When we're tired, we sleep. When we're pain, we go to the doctor. In a very general way, the Bible says, men, that's what you do in life. You love your wife as you love yourself. But secondly, and more importantly, he is to love as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? How did Jesus portray his incredible love for the church? I'm going to give you eight things. I'm watching the time. We won't go over time. But it's so helpful. See, this is what we want to teach the world. The last two Saturdays, it's been a great joy to have weddings. We had a wedding here yesterday. It was wonderful. And it's an opportunity to say to the wife of the bride, man, that's what God wants from you. And then to be able to come and say to the bridegroom, this is what God wants from you. Now, what does it mean? Let me give them to you. Number one, it's unconditional. The love of the man for his wife is unconditional. Romans 5:8. Secondly, it's volitional. Ephesians 1:6. He must choose to love. Three, it's very intense. John 13:1. Four, it's unending. Jeremiah 31:3. Five, it's to be unselfish. Philippians 2:6 and 7. And number six, it's to be purposeful. Ephesians 5:26 and 27. Seven, it's to be sacrificial. 1 Peter 2. And eight, it's to be manifest. He is to show it and to demonstrate it. That's what Jesus did to us. Yet, this morning we come into Holy Communion. We're going to have bread, and we're going to drink the grape juice. And that's what we remember, friends. We remember Jesus loved me. His love was unconditional. Jesus' love was volitional. Jesus' love was intense, unending, unselfish, purposeful, sacrificial, and manifested. Now, Jesus says to us men, he says, now, guys, that's how you love. That's what Jesus wants. The heart of the marriage is the man. And the wife responds. What you saw last Sunday. Isn't that a lovely picture? See, we live in a day where there's so, so much divorce. Two of our boys are in education and married. Three of them. We've only got two sane people in our family. But you chat to Mary or John or Murray and you see in their classes how many children come out of normal homes. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it breaks your heart, eh? Now why is that? Because we won't listen to God. God has given us this beautiful, beautiful picture. Say, men, that's it. That's it. Lead and love. Wives, submit and help. That's how it works. Well, last week we gave you some suggestions. Is that alright? Can I do that this morning? And just to leave them with you, that's all the theory. What are some practical applications that you and I could say today? How can husbands show their wives the love that Jesus shows to his church? Men, what can we say practically? Well, let me give them to you. The first way is by way of words. Here's the first practical application. The way we speak, the way we talk to each other, by way of words. Two, by providing for the satisfaction of all of your wife's needs. She's got physical needs, emotional needs, intellectual needs, social needs, recreational needs, and spiritual needs. The husband says, I'm going to try. I'll fail. We're all not perfect, but I'm going to try hard. The great thing in life, men, is to love your wife. By way of words, by way of supplying her every need. Number three, by protecting her. By protecting her. So we men will make sure that our wives don't do too much. So we help in the home. We assist in the home. As much as we can. And we ought to love it. So we will help in whatever way we can. Wash the dishes until you buy a dishwasher, but no, that's our job. We love it. We love helping. I remember when Murray, when he was a baby, he got very constipated. And nothing would happen. I knew it would happen sooner or later. We plugged him with prunes and all the fancy equipment. And then Mary says, I'm going out to shop. That's right. So, guess what happened? It all exploded. Oh, well, that's not a problem. Praise the Lord for grass and hose pipes. And I had to learn. Hey, it's such fun, eh? That's wonderful. See, men, you've got to help. Some men, if I may say that, that do very little. The garden ought to be neat. Your house ought to be neat. Things ought to be orderly. Why? Dad. He's the point man. It's lovely to see that. Pours out his love for his wife and his family. Is that three? Number four, done four, he assists in all the responsibilities. Whatever it may be. He assists. Number five, he sacrifices. He's willing to sacrifice for his wife. Six, he allows her to share his life. So 1 Peter 3:7, says, heirs together of the grace of life. Number seven, he refuses to compare her unfavorably with any other woman. Never hear a loving husband say, man, I want to tell you something. You don't cook as well as my mother used to cook. That's a sheer word to be booted out of the lounge. But that won't happen. Don't do that. Even if it's not so nice. But that's okay. That's fun. And then number eight. You're going to demonstrate to your wife that apart from your relationship to Jesus Christ, she's got first place in your life. She needs to know that. More important than your business and more important than your children, more important than your parents, or your hobbies, or your sport, or anything else, apart from Jesus Christ, she has got first place in your life. Number 9, you show her a lot of respect and courtesy. The other book we've recommended is called The Christian Family. It's a lovely book, very easy to read. And the Christiansons who wrote it say this: love her, recognize her talents, appreciate her efforts, be considerate of her feelings. This daily vitamin will make your married life far more rewarding for your wife and for you. And number 10, express appreciation daily. Express appreciation daily. I don't just say this, you can go and ask Mary afterwards. There's one man I respect in this world more than any other man. It's Mary's dad. I love that man very, very, very dearly. He's an incredible example to me. I don't make ever a decision without phoning Ernest. He's godly. He sets the most unbelievable standards for us. He's the most amazing grandfather. But he once said these words to me, 40 years ago now. Phew, how's that? It's quite a long time. He said, Warwick, the greatest thing that you could ever do for your children is to love your wife. And he's right. I want to ask you this morning, my precious friends. If I failed in all my presentations, I ask you to forgive me. But you've heard the heart. I'm going to ask you this morning, how are things at home? Wives, how's it going? Are you providing an environment at home that your husband loves to be there? Loving him? In every way submissive to his leadership? And men, do you love your wife? Are you leading your home in every way? The Point Man, a fantastic book called Point Man. Guys, you should read it. The Point Man, it's dad. You go wrong at home, dad. Everything hinges on dad. Now you know what, brothers, and I say to my own heart, this standard here you'll never do unless you are walking with Jesus. The most very, very critical thing in life is to be a man who walks with Jesus. Your kids can't find you. For them to see you as dad, reading the Bible, praying, beautiful thing. When they see dad loving mom, it's a terrific thing. Please remember, in life, most important thing is the home. It's a true story. He was the Secretary of State of America, what Hillary Clinton is doing now. And John Dulles was his name. One day the President of America phoned the home, John Dulles, and his wife answered. Said, it's the President speaking. Can I speak to John? No, you can't, she said. He's not here. I want to tell you, Mr. President, he's never here. He's always running around America. Put down the phone. It's a true story. So the President of the United States got hold of the Secretary of State. Said to him, this is the President speaking. Get home. Your home's in a mess. I hope God doesn't want to say that to anybody here. Let's live families, homes, where these principles are put into play. What we'll do next Sunday is the children. Children, obey your parents in everything. That's what it says. Isn't that a nice sermon? We'll have a look at that next week. Let's pray.